Hello and welcome back to Vanguard Radio. This is Marcelo Sugdeo. Today we have a special show in which we'll hear from Lee Obst, President and Managing Director at Rockwell Collins Canada. Terry Pavlik, Editor-in-Chief of Vanguard, spoke with Lee a few days ago during their open house event in Ottawa. Rockwell Collins is a multinational company headquartered in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and it provides avionics and information technology systems and services to governmental agencies and aircraft manufacturers. Seen as a leader in aviation and high-integrity solutions for commercial and military customers around the world, Rockwell Collins provides flight deck avionics, cabin electronics, cabin interiors, information management, mission communications, and simulation and training products and services. And now, here's that interview with Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Good morning, Terry.
So, with CANSEC this year, a lot of companies and organizations are showcasing their capabilities. For Rockwell Collins, what are some of the products that you will be showcasing this year?
Well, thank you for that. As you know, CANSEC is a really super intense time, and it's condensed into 2 days of back-to-back meetings with multiple companies, and we're glad to have had the opportunity today to at least showcase some of those things to you in a quieter setting. But primarily within the CANSEC, we'll be demonstrating in three main areas, one being the simulation and training, and you saw some of that this morning when we demonstrated a system called Coalescence. And what Coalescence really does is leverage a lot of investments that have been made in the gaming industry by taking a system from Oculus Rift to give the virtual reality goggles, which we can then pair up with software we've developed within Rockwell Collins that gives us a worldwide database mapping of the entire globe so that we can then place a scenario anywhere on the globe on the virtual reality goggles to give you an image of what that scenario would look like. Then we add into that other training systems. So for the one you saw this morning, we'll be displaying at CANSEC, adds in the cockpit of a F-18 fighter jet so that the individual seeing through the real through the virtual world will see the outside world anywhere on the globe as he's flying a fixed cockpit simulator in front of him. When he looks down inside the cockpit, he'll see the instrumentation and so on in the aircraft that's in front of him in the real mock-up, if you will. And as soon as he looks anywhere else, you'll see the virtual world that's blended seamlessly between the two. And that can then be extended into any kind of a training system. So it could be a soldier on the ground, it could be an armored vehicle, it could be a fighter aircraft, it could be a rotor wing aircraft, simply by blending what is already available through the gaming industry into virtual reality and a worldwide database and the cockpit training systems that we also have available to us. So that's one part of that equation. Another part that we'll be showcasing is a system we called VAPT, which is a virtual avionics procedures trainer. We're going to be displaying and demonstrating that at a partner company with the Blue Drop, which is a Canadian company, by the way, where we have worked together to take technology that they have invested in doing learning management systems in terms of providing training and so forth, with a virtual cockpit that we use to rehost the actual aircraft operational flight programs. So that includes things like the flight management systems, the navigation systems, the communications, the sensors, and the management of all that information is done via touchscreen displays that mimic exactly how it functions in the aircraft. The real significance there is that we're actually using the actual aircraft OFP in the virtual simulation. So that allows you to give an excellent procedures trainer for a new pilot coming into a different type or being trained for the first time either or, can go through all the emergency procedures, the startup procedures, checklist procedures in a very low cost and safe environment. So you can inject emergencies to train crews on how to operate or deal with things without having the expense of a full flight or an actual mission or a full flight simulator. The other nice thing about that is because it's a virtual procedures trainer, we can reload that same scenario to be any cockpit. So it literally takes less than 5 minutes to convert from a CH-47 Chinook, which we all have on display, to a C-130 aircraft. using the actual aircraft OFPs. And that's just a couple of steps in the training continuum that really starts from teaching instructor-led training through manuals, through desktop training, online systems training, procedures training, a virtual cockpit, a full flight simulator, and then on to the actual aircraft training system. We'll be demonstrating some of our advanced avionics that will be showcasing our ProLine Fusion capabilities that is being used predominantly in the commercial world, in business, regional, and commercial aircraft. That same system, though, we're seeing migrating more and more into defense or military aircraft. The amount of cost that is invested in creating those systems to the very, very high levels of safety that are required. The military market doesn't support or sustain on its own having independent systems. So we're seeing a more of a fusion of those, of leveraging the commercial based, adding the military unique kind of systems and capabilities you need, like night vision, sensors, and weapons and security to that to put into military aircraft. And then the third area that we'll be showcasing is a communications and networking data link wall, if you will. We're going to show our advanced communication systems ranging from the products that are developed right here locally in Ottawa and exported globally through our company, starting with the subnet relay, which has become a NATO standard for maritime interoperability and communications. We'll be including demonstrations of a capability that we've been developing to modernize HF. HF has been around for decades, literally. It provides beyond line of sight, global reach, if you will, for communication systems, but historically has suffered from very low data rates and difficulty in using. The system that we've been able to modernize increases the throughput by more than 20 times and provides a digital IP interface. So you can now use it in a networked fashion. You can control it from an iPad or a phone or a laptop to be able to send information at near SATCOM kind of data throughputs anywhere in the world. And in addition to that, we'll be demonstrating our data link capabilities through tactical data links systems such as Link 16 and the next generation of the systems that are coming along to enable that, which is really an allied coalition interoperability standard, if you will, becoming a standard. Subnet relay, of course, as part of that, and the advanced networking waveforms that we've been able to create here in Ottawa that we're using in some of these software-defined radios. So that would be the primary focus of our show this year.
Now, you've mentioned a lot of this made-in-Canada technology, which is very timely. And can you share with me a little bit about the future growth strategy for Rockwell Collins in Canada on what you're doing to align your investment with the mandates of the new defense procurement strategy?
We felt that the defense procurement strategy, the value proposition and the creation of ITBs actually aligned very well with what we were already doing. And so we're looking to capitalize and continue on. So as a U.S.-based international company, we make investments in capabilities and centers of excellence where they are in the world. And we happen to have a very excellent capability in terms of doing networking, waveform development, and some radio development here in Ottawa. So we're continuing to look to leverage those investments in the things that we're doing to bring those products to maturity and into the global market and export through the reach of our company is one strategy. We're also making investments in other Canadian companies and technologies that already exist that we can integrate into our global supply chain, which is one of the objectives of the defense procurement strategy. And we see that as an example in the acquisition of Christie Digital Projectors, projector line. We made the acquisition of the IP and the technology. That will enable Christie to have a much broader global reach by integrating that into our product lines that we export around the world through the footprint of our company, if you will. But the manufacturing and the IP and the generation of that will remain where it is in Southern Ontario. And so we're leveraging those kinds of incentives. We've grown over the last 5 years to more than 250 Canadian suppliers at more than $100 million a year in business that's now integrated through the global supply chain that we can then take to the rest of the world. So investing in our own future to create capability and export globally, and looking for other Canadian capabilities that we can integrate into our standard product lines to give us a competitive advantage and help the Canadian industry grow as a whole.
That is the goal.
That is the goal.
Yes. Can you tell me more about Wideband HF and what role the Canadian subsidiary of RC played in its development?
So the history of that goes back quite a ways. And it actually, the nemesis of it really started from a company that was acquired here. It used to be called IP Unwired. And that was the inventors, if you will, of a system called Subnet Relay, which is where we acquired that technology through an acquisition back in 2006. Many of the founding principals are still with Rockwell. Matter of fact, almost all of them are still with Rockwell Collins today. And through the investments of having a bigger corporation and making that investment in a smaller company, we're able to mature those products. We're able to help SNR become a global and international standard. And then based on that technology, the engineering staff here were able to develop and demonstrate as a proof of concept that this kind of technology could be applied to a digitize HF, if you will, to increase them by joining together some of the frequencies, by combining frequencies together, could get broader bandwidth to solve the throughput issues, and really developed an early prototype back in 2012 for demonstration on programs like Trident Warrior, which is a international coalition maritime exercise for communications and demonstration of technologies. From that point, we developed some early prototypes that were demonstrated in the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and Brazil, which spawned a lot of interest in the market, saying that there really is a need and demand. We were able to then create a TRL level 6 kind of system, if you will, through a program called Build Canadian Innovation Program, which we successfully demonstrated and did a one-month trial. Continuous operations from almost coast to coast in Canada, proving the system, the technology is robust enough to work in the real world. And more currently, we're developing the full production-ready systems, which will be ready for delivery by the end of this year.
Can you give me an example of how your recent in-country investment and growth have supported the pursuit of a current program of interest in Canada?
Certainly. I think one of the great examples of that coming forward is current pursuits. I have to be careful how much detail I go into because it's currently in evaluation, is the Canadian Surface Combatants. So that is part of the national shipbuilding strategy. And as part of that, there is a need or requirement for communication systems. As part of the value proposition, the primes are also looking for where can they get Canadian content. Much of the design, as you know, the basic design of the warship and some of the systems will be coming offshore. And being as such, there's not huge amounts of Canadian content in some of those. Depends on which prime, of course, you're talking to. The shipyard, of course, would be Irving, will be building the ship, and that's all Canadian content. But the primes are also looking for where can we add Canadian content in some of these systems that will be acquired. Communications being one of the subsystems, and we're able to bring to bear for those particular pursuits a made-in-Canada solution. So we're able to leverage things like our wideband HF as part of the HF requirements, and some VUHF, V and UHF type of radio systems that were already deployed with the Canadian Navy. And of course, Subnet Relay, which is invented and built here in Canada as well, combined with other providers, other Canadian suppliers that we've been able to select for subsystems, antennas, and power amplifiers and the like and so forth, and SATCOM, able to give a Canadianized communication system to meet the Navy's current and future needs.
How are these programs represented at CANSEC?
So you're going to see some of the technologies on display at CANSEC on the communications. I've mentioned several times wideband HF and SNR for sure will be on display there. We'll also be demonstrating some of the V and UHF communication systems, as well as some tactical data links in Link 16. And we'll be able to explain a little bit of what the Canadian content in those subsystems and how we're applying that in the context of the National Shipbuilding Strategy, or hope to deploy it. Of course, that's all pending on selection.
Do you have any recent program wins to share?
Yes. The most significant, most current program win, I guess, recent, is a digitally assisted close air support system. Again, we had the opportunity to showcase it this morning to some of our guests here at the open house, and you can see it again at CANSEC as well. So the digitally assisted close air support system basically provides a capability for the joint terminal air controller, the person on the ground who's designating targets, to be able to link that seamlessly and automatically through an Android handheld type device technology that will be linked into some radio communications that they are equipped with via data link connect to the aircraft. So you're able to basically, so the JTAC on the ground can identify a target, can lock that target, and just with the press of a button, pass those coordinates digitally up to the aircraft, who can then prosecute that target. And that will also allow the coordination then between the people on the ground, the friendlies on the ground, and the aircraft to make sure that we have the right target selected, we have the appropriate force being applied to prosecute that target. And it's all done seamlessly and electronic digitally to avoid miscommunications or translation problems or dropped communications or errors that way.
Lee, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about RC in Canada?
Certainly. I mean, Rockwell Collins in Canada, you know, 5 or 6 years ago was a pretty small company and not much in the limelight or in the news, if you will. I think what we'd like, the message we're trying to pass is that Rockwell Collins is committed to Canada and the Canadian market. We're committed in multiple fronts, obviously in the defense and security industry, and we've grown our presence 3 times in the last 5 years, 3x growth in terms of sales and increasing of personnel. Not quite the same in personnel, but increase in personnel and sales. We're also committed into providing worldwide service to our commercial customers. So we have an embedded team with Bombardier, significantly help them successfully deploy their aircraft, both in the defense and, more importantly, in the commercial market space. We have a part of our division in information management systems, which is providing secure network communications for the airlines and airports and airport authorities. And most recently, we've acquired a company, BE Aerospace, which would be part of our cabin interior systems, which also has a facility in Winnipeg. And so we're looking forward to joining with those kind of capabilities to bring a much broader reach and capability to the Canadian market.
Lee, I'd like to say thank you for a very fascinating insight into the growth and development of at Rockwell Collins and a lot of work that you're doing in the innovation space. So it's certainly a pleasure and best of luck at CANSEC.
Well, thank you very much, Terry.
That was Terry Pavlik speaking with Lee Obst from Rockwell Collins, Canada. Thanks to Terry and Lee for sharing that interesting interview. From the Vanguard team, this is Marcelo Sugdeo saying bye for now.